And it's something that we all should aspire to. Those that are disciples, that we do aspire to. That we want to grow, not just to be mere infants in Christ. As we allow our youngest sister, Naomi, to be. You know, we don't want to make fun of anyone when we say a baby Christian. It's just a fact. When we're born, like Owen was just born, he's very needy. And, you know, Mama and Daddy are going to be taken care of, and Grandma and Grandpa, you know, little Owen. Well, when you're a baby Christian, you're just brand new born again. You're just coming into God's kingdom. And it's a very fragile time. It's a time where we want to wrap our arms around our newest sister and take care of her.
Yeah.
And another fragile time for Kendall, moving. You know, and then only being 3 months old as a disciple, but still moving to a new situation. Satan loves to get in there. Sever the old relationships and stop you before the new ones are formed that knit you on in to God and His kingdom. So we want to surround our sister Kendall and welcome her big time to the church here. But our goal then is to go on to maturity.
Amen.
And the book of James is an incredible book. It's written to the Hebrew Christians that have been scattered throughout the nations there. And it has hit so many things already for us in helping us to mature. Today, our theme is wisdom. Wisdom. And specifically, we're going to talk about two kinds of wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 13.
Come on, bro.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, or her good life. Amen, sisters? By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil.
Wow.
For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now, does that sound like our city?
Yeah.
Does that sound like our world?
Come on, bro.
But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, we're going to divide this little section into three parts. First of all, verse 13, it's very simply a question or a statement about wisdom. Let me remind you, who is wise among you? Are you wise? Are you understanding? Well, if you are, then prove it.
Come on.
Show us.
Right.
You know, a lot of people claim to be wise.
Right.
Yo,
right.
I'm wise. Now, if anyone says, yo, I am wise, they're probably not wise. Even our own poets have said, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. You get a little knowledge, and you get all puffed up. You know, you just have enough knowledge to be dangerous. Oh, I know something. I know something. Yeah. But then when you really start to grow in wisdom, you go, man, there's a lot I don't know. There's a lot I've got to grow in. And the more you know, you need to know. That's why with wisdom comes humility. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show it by your good life, by deeds done in humility. That comes from wisdom. You know, wisdom will give you a lot of things. Hold your place. Go back to chapter 1. Let me remind you what we learned week 1. Verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now that just sounds weird at first. You're supposed to be happy when you're going through trials? That doesn't make any sense to the unwise. When you're not wise and a problem happens, all you see is the problem. You go, what? Problem? Like one of the kids in Kids Kingdom. Right? That's how we act. You know, we get all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Because of a little bitty old trial. When you grow in wisdom, wisdom allows us not to act all foolish like that. Wisdom allows us, if you read on, it says, consider pure joy because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wise. And then it goes on to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, what should you do? Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. But he who asks must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed back and forth. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Wisdom allows you to see a trial and not freak out. But to see that same trial and go, you know what? Okay, this is a test of my faith.
Yeah, right. Come on.
This is to reveal in me where I'm at right now. And if you blew it, and I, yeah, okay, boy, I'm so ashamed. You ever been ashamed of how you acted?
Yeah.
Even the Jubilee, there are things I was ashamed of. It's just my response to certain things. I thought, but I came out of it going, okay, I'm at a different place now. I can see it. And you learn, the more you walk with God, the longer you walk with God, He gets you out of everything. In fact, the Bible says He won't tempt you beyond what you can bear, but will provide a way out, but you've got to look for it. So do you freak out over the trial, or do you go, okay, this is a test. Where's the way out, Lord? Where is it? Okay, I know it's here somewhere. I know you won't tempt me beyond what I can handle. And that kind of wisdom allows you to make it through.
Amen.
To grow. It's that kind of wisdom, back in 3, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. There's a humility.
Yeah.
When you grow in wisdom, it's like, okay, there's a humility in the way you act toward one another. The more you know, the more you know you need to know. Now, let me give you a definition of wisdom. I looked up the Wikipedia definitions. Number 1, the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. That's wisdom. You have the ability to make that judgment. Okay, that's true or it's not. That's right or it's wrong. That's lasting, and that's only going to last for a minute. And I'm an idiot if I follow that route. It's insight that you gain. And all you have to do is ask God, and He'll give it to you. Second definition, common sense. Good judgment. Third definition, the sum of learning through the ages. Wisdom, all we've learned as mankind through the ages. 4, a wise outlook, plan, or course of action. Are you wise? Are you growing in your wisdom? Able to discern? Having insight? Are you on a good course of action? And the fifth definition was biblical wisdom. And it talked a lot about the Proverbs. And that's a great book to study if you want to learn about wisdom. But it's not just head knowledge, right? You can get it here, but if it doesn't help you practically when you hit those trials, what good is it? Like, oh, I know it. And sometimes the longest few inches is from here to here. To here. In the bones. You know, I know how I ought to be acting right now. I know I ought to be really humble right now. You idiot! You know, and you're like, well, I got here, but I didn't get there. I got a little work to do. Are you with me, guys? Getting, the more you grow as a Christian, it's not just register. The more you do it, it becomes part of your muscles. Part of your spiritual muscles. That you can grow in. Okay, anyway. Wisdom is a practical knowledge that affects the way we live. It's God helping us grow. Now, let's go to the second section, verse 14 to 16. And we're going to call this wisdom from hell. Are you wise? But is your wisdom from hell? I mean, that's what it says, right, guys? It says, if you harbor... And when I think of harbor, I think of harboring a fugitive. You know, that means to hide that fugitive. To protect that fugitive. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, you're harboring it. You're hiding it. It's in there. The envy. The selfish ambition. You're protecting it in there. And it goes on to say, don't boast about it. Oh yeah, because that's what our world does. I'm going to get mine. Yeah. That's the wisdom of our world.
Right.
Such wisdom doesn't come from heaven. It's earthly.
Yeah.
It's unspiritual and it's of the devil. But it's what our world, it's America, gets yours. What's the famous line from Wall Street 1? Greed is good. That's America. Because it drives. The answer, I heard a guy on 2020, one of those shows, CNN, sharing how we all need to be more greedy. That's the problem with America. We need to be more greedy because we'll be more motivated to get out there and get ours.
Wow.
And that was this young professional's opinion of how to change the world. We need to be more greedy. It's what the world teaches you. Son, it's hard. World's tough. You got to get out there and you got to get yours. You may have to step on a few people to get it too. Because where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. This is wisdom from hell. And we have to unlearn a lot of this wisdom from hell. You know, what it says, the envy, is that you want what somebody else has. I'm envious. And it didn't just say envy, it says bitter envy. You know, when in Chicago in the winter, when it gets bitter cold,
yeah.
That, you know what that means? That means really cold.
Right.
When you have bitter envy, you're seriously envious.
Yeah.
You want what somebody else has. What are some of the Ten Commandments? Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's goods. We live in a world where people want what other people have. And they brag. They boast about it.
Yeah.
There's a popular song a few years ago that even as a Christian I heard and I thought, oh, that's a cool song. It was by Uncle Cracker. He goes, follow me, everything is all right. Right? He's like, follow me? That sounds like Jesus. Follow me, we'll be fishers of men. But you ever listen to the words? Here you are, follow me, everything is all right. And if you listen to the words, he goes, that ring on your finger, I don't care. It's all about adultery. You got that ring, I don't care. I don't think you care either. Come with me. I'm better than your husband. I'll treat you better than your husband. It's all about adultery. And Uncle Cracker got us going, follow me. Just singing about adultery. Let's sing about it. We don't even know what it's about. But that's People are at, they see a woman they want, they don't care if she's got a ring on her finger. It means nothing to them. It's about conquest. It's our world's wisdom. And look at the disorder that it's producing. Because first you have people that are two-faced. That are deceitful. What's our world's wisdom produce? You guys like it at school? How about you college kids, you high school kids out there? You know, even junior high, if some of the preteens are with us, I'm not sure if they took a class there. You go to school, you don't know if people are being honest with you or not. They could be lying to your face. Oh, you're so awesome, you're cool. As soon as you leave, that girl's such an idiot. Even the way she walks is stupid. Look, I grew up during my middle school and high school years wearing steel braces on each foot, coming out of paralysis. The things people called me and said to me. That's our world. The peer pressure to do bad things. If you don't do drugs, you're not cool. And our kids are under so much pressure these days. Doggone it, look at Disney. They're supposed to be all wholesome. Mickey Mouse. And look at the themes. And then when the commercials come on, the teen-themed shows they advertise, they're hooking you young. It's all about money. It's all about getting yours, no matter who you have to step on and whose life you have to ruin. And the sad part is your life's ruined before you realize how stupid you were. People are two-faced. They're deceitful. They lie. You know, some of us, you've been in the kingdom so long, you forgot what it's like to be around people. You don't know if they're lying to you or telling the truth. And we take the kingdom for granted. Because in this church, we preach truth. We expect truth. I'm not saying you can't get lied to, but it'll all come out in the wash one day.
Right.
And guess what? You reap what you sow.
Right.
It's so awesome, though, to be in the kingdom.
Amen.
Where you can take people's word for something. And some of us have forgotten just what it's like to be around. Even in church, you don't know who's lying to you, being two-faced.
Yep.
Just trying to get what you have. And after lying, where does it go from there? Stealing? And how about adultery and murder? This is the wisdom of the world. It's wisdom from hell. And it's creating a disorder out there that I don't want to be a part of. But guess what? You don't want to be a part of it. You have to change. You have to actually be the change you want to see in the world, as Gandhi said.
Right. Yeah.
For this place to be different, we have to act different.
That's right.
And have wisdom from heaven, not wisdom from hell.
Come on, bro.
But sooner or later, you're going to get hurt so bad, you're going to realize, man, this isn't worth it. You want to swim with the sharks, you're going to get bit. Murder. And if anyone here thinks we're above it, how about King David? King David. The man after God's own heart. And Satan got him with wisdom from hell. Started with laziness. All his men went out to war, but he didn't go this time. He stayed home. Are you? Has Satan gotten you with laziness?
Wow.
I'll just send everybody else out to share their faith and I'll just chill. I need a little rest. Then you look out your window and there's a beautiful woman bathing right there. That was King David. And he wanted her. Didn't matter she was married. He slept with her. Had a kid. Tried to get deceitful and cover it up. Brought Uriah back. Said, hey, I just want to bring you back. So you've been doing such a great job. Sleep, sleep with your wife, be with your wife. He was a man of such honor. He refused. He said, how am I to go in here and be with my wife when my men are out there on the front line? And he stayed at the door. David's plan was to get him to sleep with her so he'd think it was his kid. This was King David. And when he didn't do it, he had to give the order to have him killed in the battlefield. Satan got King David with wisdom from hell right there. And he wants to get you. He wants you to think you're so wise. You know, your parents don't know what they're talking about. Your Bible talk leader doesn't know what he's talking about. Your person discipling you, how'd they even get in the church? What an idiot. I know what I'm doing. Has God not spoken to me too? Well, look out for leprosy. We get arrogant.
Yeah, we do.
And we think we've got the corner on what's best here. Instead of with many advisors, victory is sure. And we're going to get trapped in that same place. And then before you know it, you're in so deep. And Satan said, don't get open. Don't be honest. And now you're harboring it. Bitter envy. Selfish ambition. If it's there, don't boast about it and don't deny it. Confess it. Get open. Get help with where you're at. Because no matter how long you've been a Christian, you've never been where you're at in this stage of life as a disciple before. We're always at a new spot. We always have to be humble. If we're wise, we will be. One of the most amazing things I heard after the Jubilee, when we got back from the Jubilee, the brother's household was broken into and robbed. Like over $800, I think, of rent money was stolen. That was in the apartment. Well, here we are, we're at a Jubilee. We're sacrificing and traveling across country to be with spiritual people.
Yeah.
And back at home, the brothers are getting robbed by people that really don't care about anything but themselves. But that's our world. You like it? Then let's go share our faith. Because to make a disciple, they're not going to do that.
Amen. Come on, bro.
I'll never forget one of the clearest images of this in my life was back in the early 90s. I was a young disciple in the New York City church, and we'd come together for what we called Solid Rock. It's when all the teens came together in the church, and there were like 250 teens from all the different boroughs in Manhattan. And we put together a band, and we did some performing for them, and it was incredible. Later that night, I was sitting a block from my house on 100th and Riverside, and with the piano player, just hanging out talking, and a few teens came up with a handgun and robbed us. Stuck a gun in my face. Everything went into slow-mo. It was amazing. Whoa. It's like life could be over right now. Over what? Over what's in my pocket? They took a pinky ring that I had gotten in the Bahamas after high school. Probably $250. But that was a blessing from God. You don't wear pinky rings. I need to get rid of that. That was of God. They also took about $330 of my rent money that was in my pocket. But thank God they didn't take my life. And these kids, as soon as they got our wallets, they were like all fighting over the money and the gun was just waving. In fact, they got the money and my wallet dropped. And in my wallet was my driver's license. And I don't know if you remember way back how hard it was to replace your license. And it had happened to me once before. So while they're fighting over the money, I took my foot and slid my wallet under the bench. Because I did not want to go through getting my license again. You know what I'm saying? That's true. It's true. I did in the middle of all that. I ain't going through that again. But afterwards, it was just so surreal. I'm like, I could be dead.
Yeah.
We live in a city where you can get murdered for your kicks on your feet.
Yeah.
because someone else wants them. You think the wisdom of the world is really good wisdom here? You like what we've produced? Then humble out before God. If you're not a disciple, you need to become a disciple. The Bible is right. And the Proverbs say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In one night there, with the teens from the church, we saw light. And then with the same a small group of teens, we saw hell and darkness. Very vivid. Who is wise and understanding among you? Is Satan duping you? Has he got you by the nose, leading you right out of the church little by little? Don't go back to that garbage!
Come on, bro.
It'll never change if we don't change.
Come on. Amen, bro. Come on.
The third section is wisdom from heaven.
Amen.
The wisdom from heaven is first of all pure. We've got to be purified from that garbage. You know, and it's like, it's easy to hate everybody else's sin, but not your own. Oh yeah, all that garbage, that needs to change. But what about your pet little sin right there? The stuff we baby. Oh, I'm trying to change that. We got to get open. And we got to get purified. You know, if you're our guest, we invite you to study the Bible. One of the things that happened when I visited a similar church to this that hadn't happened all my life going to church is we sit down and we get the Bible open. And it's not one of them little informal little, oh, let's talk about the Scriptures. What do you think about Scriptures? What do you think? Oh, that was so informative. Amen. See you next week. But where we sit down and go, okay, you, tell me about yourself spiritually. What have you learned all your life spiritually? Well, let's open the Bible. Let's talk about what it means to seek God with all your heart. And the first lesson we teach is, you're not going to find God unless you seek Him with all your heart. I grew up going to church, sometimes two churches on a Sunday. One in the morning, one at night. But it wasn't with all my heart, so I never really got true wisdom. I wasn't purified. But we study the Bible, we'll talk. What it means to follow the Word, not the world. But the Scriptures. To be true disciples. The benefits of following God. Seeking first His kingdom, He'll take care of everything in your life. Confessing sin, repenting. We talk through these things and you get purified. You get out stuff that you've kept your whole life. You're so ashamed of. But you're not ashamed in a godly way. Satan's just got your nose in it. Instead of being able to get open. Have it clean. You know, what Zola said to Naomi. You're going to be forgiven for all your sins, past, present, and future. That's what Jesus wants to provide you with. But you got to purify your hearts and come to God. Wisdom from heaven is first of all pure. And I've always called the Christian journey the journey from selfishness to selflessness. Where Jesus said, I've made myself nothing. Paul said, I'm free, but I make myself a slave.
Amen.
To win as many as possible. Yep. Yeah. You get purified. You know, I'll talk about that in a second.
Right.
Pure, then peace-loving. Do you love peace, brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Do you love peace?
Yeah.
Now, I know what some of you think. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And Jesus did bring a sword. The Scriptures. You either love it or you hate it. You either submit to it or you rebel against it and live in alienation from God. But I'm talking about for all of those that have submitted to it. We're to live in peace. It provides a society. Just like in our world, we think law provides a peaceful society where we can live in peace. That's the Scriptures. Outside the kingdom, disorder, every evil practice. You want to live in that? You want to live in sin? Go, enjoy. You want to enjoy the kingdom? You got to get purified and get peace loving. We're here to work things out. Be considerate. Wisdom from heaven is considerate. You want to consider the other person. When I was a young Christian, one of my roommates taught me a lesson I'll never forget. He said, you can't stand on one side of the gorge looking at somebody on the other side of the gorge and say, hey you, you need to repent, get over here. No, you need to walk over where they're at. Take a look at what they're facing. Put yourself in their shoes. Then you grab their hand and you walk together across that gorge. That's being considerate of where their faith is and where they're coming from. Submissive. Wisdom from heaven is submissive. We could do a whole sermon on that. But we've got to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Full of mercy. Are you? Who is wise? Are you full of mercy? Do you extend mercy? I'm not saying lower the standard. But when people repent, you forgive them, you forget, you go on together.
Yep.
And full of good fruit. You're going to show it. If you're walking by God, there's going to be a lot of good fruit in your life. Impartial. Okay? We're not showing favorites because I've known you longer. Because you're the same color skin. No. We're impartial. We're going to love everybody.
Yeah.
See, you love God with all your heart. And then you love everybody as you love yourself.
Yep.
That's God's way. What an amazing world it would be. Sincere. Wisdom from heaven is sincere. There's not a mask to cover up impure motives. But we look at each other and we're sincere. We're here for you. What do you need? What do we got to do? That's sincerity.
That's right.
Our world lacks it.
Yeah.
Incredibly. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, as we're sowing in peace, there may be someone who totally rejects God's word.
Yep.
And one thing we don't shy away from is persecution. We know if people don't want to surrender, they're not going to persecute God so much as the messenger.
That's right.
Who are you to say that? I don't have to live by your rules. And then they're going to try to label you and bring you down. Oh, you're a religious nut. You've been brainwashed. Again, when I was living out there, the way I acted, I needed to get brainwashed. I often say I needed to take a Brillo pad up there to my brain and scrub it real good. And we get persecuted. But you know what? 2 Timothy 2, read that chapter later. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone impartially. Able to teach. Lord's servant doesn't just go around going, oh, peace, 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 peace. There is no peace, peace, peace. No. But I'm going to be kind, but I'm going to teach you the truth. And it's up to you to respond. And not resentful. Oh, boy. If you harbor that in there, it's over. That resentment will kill you. The Lord's servant must not be resentful, but must gently instruct those who Satan's taken captive to do his will. So, again, if you're the one who is wise, and they're taken captive to do God's will, then you should be calm, at peace, kind, and able to teach and gently instruct them in hopes they will escape the trap too. If we really are the wise one. You with me, guys?
Yeah.
It's going to be shown. And you know what? We're not all at the finish line. We're not all. The goal isn't to respond perfectly to every situation. The goal is to be honest and transparent.
Yeah.
And when we face a situation, as you put the tea bag in the hot water and the flavor comes out, and your flavor spills on out there, you go, oh boy, I'm ashamed of how I handled that one. Please forgive me. We do. We move on.
Right.
Or you go, hey, well, I handled that one better. Amen. Glory to you, God. I won't be prideful. Amen. You know, and you see progress in the faith.
Amen.
I'd like to close by sharing something with you that I shared at the Jubilee. Before the Jubilee started, we had a global leadership conference. And we had leaders from all over the world. There were 256 in attendance on Wednesday just for the global leadership conference. That's pretty awesome, guys. showing the growth in our movement. And I believe with all my heart, I had a few classes that I had to give out there, but on my heart the most was the class I needed to give at the Global Leadership Conference. It was entitled, Sharing Resources and Communication Between the Churches. Now, if you were fired up by what you saw last week, and that was only 1,000 in attendance, again, you get a vision for what the church here in Chicago will become. For what the church over in Outer Mongolia is going to become. And all over the world. But as we get bigger, how are we going to do sharing our resources with each other? How's our communication going to be? I believe wisdom has got to rule the day on this. Go to Hebrews chapter 5 and we'll begin to end right here. Just a few more minutes. In Hebrews 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. And righteousness, what is it, church? It's simply to do what's right because it's good, or to do what's good because it's right. That's all, to be righteous. But solid food is for the mature, the wise, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And I told the Global Leadership Committee there, I said, guys, I'm supposed to be given a lesson on sharing resources and communication. And here I am reading a scripture about falling away. What's going on? But my point was this. One of the main reasons many, many people have fallen away around the world is how we handle this issue. How we share what we have. In a church, and between the churches. How we share resources. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about people and we're talking about money. Yeah. That's it. To evangelize the world. As we just planted the church in London. Where's next? To plant those churches, you need people to go and money to get them there. Are you with me?
Yeah.
How we share these resources will make or break us as a movement.
Amen.
One of the main reasons our former fellowship spread around the world. Just a little over 20 years. 171 nations. A global attendance of almost 200,000 every Sunday. Why? How did that happen? The sharing of resources between the churches. But I believe with all my heart, one of the main reasons it fell apart was pain. Hurt feelings, bitterness, resentment, and even hatred over this issue. So much so that many no longer want to be a part of a movement that moves around the world. But they want to be what we call in the religious world autonomous, self-governing, where we don't share between the churches. We're going to keep everything we got right here at home. And do something good for God right here. We're not going to share. We're not going to work together. And churches like that, brothers and sisters, will never evangelize the nations. If Syracuse hadn't shared 16 people and over $100,000, this church would have never been planted. Let's just lay it out. We are here. I said to the global leadership and I say to you, because we believe in sharing our resources. We believe a movement is God's plan to evangelize the nations. And it is amazing. As Michael Kirshner addressed us from an administrative point of view, what has already happened in our global movement of 32 churches. That as a movement, we've seen over daily baptisms the first 6 months of the year.
Wow.
As a movement. That's going to get to be in individual churches down the road, guys. It's amazing what's been produced. But I put before you how we handle this issue. How we communicate, make decisions, and search out the will of God will make or break us as a movement. So why are you telling us this here in Chicago, Chris? Well, your day's coming. We have been relatively protected here, guys, over the past 4 years. We've been allowed to build. We've seen the church grow from Chepetta's basement right now to averaging almost 200 on Sundays. Every Sunday. That's pretty awesome. But we haven't really sent that much. Now, money-wise, we do support India. We support that work there. And we're fired up to do so.
Yep.
But people-wise, okay, all we've sent, we sent the Pullens to D.C. And it was great to see Lee, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And now we've sent the Donnellys to London.
Amen.
Well, what if I told you today we're going to send 16 to 20 of us out in about 6 months. Now, how do you feel? You ready to share resources now? Because we're going to send leaders. And we're going to need to send missions contribution as well. Who is wise and understanding among you now? How do you respond? Because our day is coming. We've got to share if we're going to reach the world. If Syracuse hadn't sent the group they did here, and then 2 years later, sent another group to Washington with the Smellies leading them, there wouldn't be a church in D.C. And did the D.C. church fire you up?
Yeah.
I got a feeling God's going to do a good thing. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Our day's coming. When it does, how are you going to respond? Who's going? Where are they going? Why are they going there? Why wasn't I asked to go? Why are you asking me to go? Why not them? Are you in the air? Do you believe in sharing resources to evangelize the nations? But how are we going to communicate about it and work it all out? You know, and we laid it out, guys. The tongue is a fire.
Yeah.
We talked about that a few weeks ago here. It gets us into trouble.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone to Jubilees in the past, and people have recruited people to go to other churches.
Yeah.
And I told them right there, I said, guys, we need to cut that out.
Yeah.
It hurts people. Now, we all stumble in many ways, James. I said, I have hurt people, and I've been hurt because of not handling this right. Who else? And many hands went up. Guys, we got to deal with this issue. And when a fire is set, I learned a long time ago what to do if I got caught on fire. Some of you remember Dick Van Dyke and a commercial he did about what to do when you get on fire. Okay? Those of you that weren't born yet, we will tell you what it said, right? You've got to stop, drop, and roll. You're on fire? Don't go running around. Stop! Drop! And then roll on the ground. Put the fire out! Well, when we got on fire with this stuff, and you know, somebody at Jubilee goes, hey man, you ought to move to my church. You need to stop. Right? This is why we have leaders in the movement. So we can talk about these things. We can help work them out. And you need to pray for the leaders that we will be united over some of these heart issues. Because it's hard when you send people out. People go, L.A., man, so many people move to L.A. Yet they do get a lot of people moving in for training. It is the training ground of our movement. But then they're there for a year. They're there for 2 years, and they're sent out in teams of 16 or 20. Michael Kirshner said, Chris, you don't understand the ripping of the hearts every time it happens. Yeah, we get them to come in. We fall in love with them. Then they're gone. It rips our hearts. And many times when teams are sent out, people fall away. Because they were more converted to that person that was leading than Jesus. It reveals the heart. That's everybody. When your mind goes and you hear something, and then we get paranoid. And nobody's trying to steal anybody from anybody else, but we go, are they recruiting them? Did they ask you to move? You know what you need to do? You just need to stop. Just stop. Take the thought captive. Cage the beast. Then you need to drop. Get on your knees. Pray. Don't pray just for what you want in the situation. Pray for what God wants in the situation. Surrender. And again, seeing what we saw in L.A. helped me again just to totally surrender. Because I believe in what God's doing with us. You stop, you drop, and then you know what you got to do next? You got to roll on over to that brother or sister that hurt you and talk it out.
All right.
Just talk it out. Say, here's how I'm feeling. This is what I heard. Maybe it didn't even happen. Well, you know, and get it out on the table.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to handle all our issues going forward. We've got a lot to do this fall in Chicago.
Yeah.
School is starting like college in like a week or so. So many souls are coming to Chicago, they think just to learn things in school, but they're coming because God wants them. And we got to get ready. There's going to be some changes for sure, some challenges we're going to face with new ministries, new Bible talks, with where our contribution is, but we're going to face them all by communicating with wisdom, maturity about what's going on. We're going to stop, we're going to drop, and we're going to roll. Amen, guys? Now, our time is coming. There are no plans to send out 20 in 6 months. Now, that's the attitude right there. Next week, we're going to send out 20. No. But I want you to be prayerful, and I want you to dream. Where's God going to blow you? Where's God going to send you? And as the cloud goes, some will go. And as the cloud stays, some will be called to stay. And you know, every time it's a challenge just to surrender to God.
Yeah.
I'll close with this. This is what I shared at the leadership conference. You know, recently LeBron James was recruited by Miami.
Yeah.
And he went to Miami. And in Miami, they are happy. They are fired up. They gave him like 5-6 keys to the city, the county, the town seat, all of it. He's got more keys than he can handle. But in Cleveland, they are burning the very jerseys that they paid their hard-earned cash to wear. They hate him. Someone went wearing a Miami Heat LeBron jersey to a Cleveland Indians game. The security had to take him out because people were throwing things at him. Why is there such love for LeBron in Miami, but such hatred in Cleveland? Because the team in Cleveland and the team in Miami are opponents. They're rivals. They're competing against one another. I put before you, the church in Chicago, we are not rivals of the church in Los Angeles. We are not opponents of the church in New York City or competing with the church in London. But rather, we are competing as a movement of churches for the salvation of the nations. We are on the same team, and we're going to share, and we're going to communicate. And guys, we got to pray for wisdom. God bless you.